All right, welcome everyone to the latest edition of the OmniTalk Spotlight series, where we discuss the technologies, the companies, and the people that we believe are shaping the evolution of retail. Today, we are thrilled to turn our spotlight on today's guest, Zippin. Zippin, for those of you unfamiliar, is the checkout-free technology that aims to banish standing in line for good. Their platform enables retailers to quickly deploy checkout-free shopping while greatly improving customer experiences in-store. And today, we are joined by Zippin's CEO and co-founder, Krishna Motukuri. Krishna, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're excited. Ann and I are pumped. I know Ann's pretty excited about this one.
I am. This is one of our, I think, for sure, in the last year, especially, and as we look to 2019, one of the technologies that we think is going to continue to disrupt the retail industry. So excited to talk to you today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've listed this as one of the top five trends, I think, that'll impact retail in the next, 1 to 3 years and in the next short term. So let's get to it. I think, Krishna, I'd love to take a unique approach to this interview. You know, we're sitting here, we're in studio, you're in San Francisco, we're in Minneapolis. It's Wednesday, January 9th. NRF is just a few days around the corner. And this is a really unique case because we're actually going to be seeing you and visiting your booth out in NRF on Sunday. So we'd love to know... Tell the audience, what is Zippin? And if we were to show up, take a look at your booth, what could we expect to see from you guys?
Right. So Zippin is an AI startup. We are building checkout-free shopping technology for every retailer. So technology that would allow customers to walk into a store, grab what they want, and walk out without ever waiting in line. And we're excited to be at NRF showing this technology to all the retailers. We will be in the innovation space, booth number 7103, for those of you who are who are planning to come there. The technology that we're building is applicable to pretty much every retailer in the world. Like I said, it's really about replacing the checkout process, which is lengthy and time-consuming, with a very simple check-in process at the entrance. And then everything just happens magically after that.
Awesome. Walk us through that. So walk us through as we're, pretend I'm almost kind of visioning right now. I'm sitting in on the trade show floor, I'm at your booth, and you're walking me through exactly how does the experience work? What would I expect to see as a consumer or as a retailer trying to deploy that experience?
That's right. So we actually have a reference store here in San Francisco. And if you were to visit that store, then you would enter the store using an app, using a Zippin app, which it currently has a QR code that gets scanned at the entrance, at the turnstile. And once it authenticates the customer, the turnstile opens and the customer walks in, and then they can just put away their phone. We don't use the phone for anything other than just checking in at the entrance. And once you're inside the store, we have overhead cameras that are constantly keeping track of where everybody is in the store and identifying the products that they are picking off of the shelves and putting back. And so whenever somebody picks up a product, then it gets added to their virtual cart that we maintain. And then and when they put it back on the shelf, then we take it out of the virtual cart. And when somebody is done shopping, they just take all the products that they've taken with them and then just exit the store. The system knows that they've exited and then takes their virtual card, bills that, and sends them a receipt. It's that simple.
Got it. So it's that simple. It's all done through cameras.
That's correct. We also actually have sensors on the shelves.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We augment the data that the cameras are actually seeing with additional information that the sensors are gathering to give us the highest accuracy possible. We have observed pretty early on when we were building the solution, we saw that with only cameras, there are many scenarios where there is significant occlusion. You can't see certain things because, just the natural way customers shop in the store, things get occluded. And when cameras can't see, they can't really predict, they can't understand what happened. And so we add additional sensors on the shelves to make sure we get very high accuracy and we don't miss any products.
Interesting. So you must have to have incredible synchronization with the data then that retailers are needing to provide you to understand exactly what items are on the shelf, both from a weight perspective and then also from a visual recognition perspective. Can you talk a little bit about that in terms of how that works?
That's right. So one of the things that we took care of when we designed the solution is to make it extremely easy from an operation standpoint. So a lot of that information about training visually, you know, to understand what products look like and what they weigh is all done automatically. Retailers would not have to do anything over and above what they normally do, which is simply stock products on the shelves and let customers grab them. And the system knows when a new product is added to automatically capture relevant information to train and add to the catalog.
Okay, Got it. Now, Ann always, when we were preparing for this, Ann was talking to me, and Ann can probably ask the question better than I can, but Ann, you were really interested in terms of how this all came about.
So. Yeah, I loved your story, Krishna, of the kind of the origin story of how this came about. Can you tell us a little bit about what inspired you to start Zippin?
Sure. Yeah, this was about 4 years ago.
Okay.
My wife and I were new parents. We had just moved to San Francisco from an overseas stint. And my wife calls me one day in the evening frantically saying, we're out of milk. You know, our son needs milk. And so I decided to stop by our neighborhood grocery store on the way home. And as soon as I stepped in, it was weekday evening, I guess, very busy. So I saw the checkout line. It was easily a 5-minute wait. And there was no way I was going to wait 5 minutes for a single gallon of milk. Mm-hmm. Right. So I just, you know, took a U-turn, went to a neighborhood convenience store instead and picked up some milk, which wasn't, you know, optimal.
We've all been
like
there.
That. Yeah, that's right. But, you know, that got me thinking, really, like, you know, there has to be a better way. And so we got together with, I got together with my co-founders, and we looked into the data and found that, you know, Americans spend over 30 billion hours a year waiting in line. Mm-hmm. That's over 100 hours per person per annum that we spend waiting in line. And a big chunk of that is in stores, grocery stores, convenience stores, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so it's a huge opportunity. And so, you know, we set about to solve that problem. You know, long story short, we raised some money, built initial prototypes, improved them, and then raised a seed round last year, and then ended up launching our first store in San Francisco in August.
That's incredible. And, you know, this is obviously a pretty busy space. There's a lot of people trying to figure this out, especially in the convenience and grocery store markets. So Krishna, tell us a little bit about what you feel really differentiates Zippin in the checkout free space.
So the primary differentiation is accuracy. So right from the time we were designing the solution, we understood very clearly that, it's very easy to get to the first stage in this technology, which is showing one customer shopping in a store. It's kind of trivial because computer vision has advanced enough that, you know, first year academics can actually build that very easily. Mm-hmm. So we realized that that would not be adequate for most retailers. If you think about it, that we don't have just one person shopping in a store, we have crowds. And even if the crowded scenario happens only a few times a day, that could be a significant percentage, like 4 to 5%, that could wipe out an entire net margin for a retailer, right? Mm-hmm. So it was important for us right from the beginning to make sure that we can handle crowds with our technology. Mm-hmm. And so when we designed our solution, we designed with the cameras overhead looking straight down, like, you know, not like a security camera that has a broad wide angle, but very narrow field of view. So we get a bird's eye view of the entire store. So we see everything in the store just like a satellite would see. And so we are able to track, you know, customers throughout the store, like a dot on a map. Mm-hmm. And we don't see any faces of any customers in that field of view, which basically means that we don't and we can't use face recognition. But one of the huge advantages of that approach has been that we don't require customers, we don't put any constraints on customers. They can wear whatever they want to the store. They could be wearing a cap, a hoodie, they could be just covering their entire face with a mask if they want to, and the technology would still work, right? So it was very important for us to handle, you know, the most natural scenarios without putting any constraints on customers. And despite that, we saw that when things get crowded, you know, cameras may miss a, you know, certain scenes. They may not be able to see certain products being picked by customers. So we augmented the cameras with sensors on the shelf to ensure that we get, you know, at least one signal all the time for every product that's being picked. And so we achieve very high accuracy, which is not possible with a solution that uses only cameras, which many of our competitors claim to be using.
Right.
So that would be the primary differentiation.
That's interesting. That's one thing Ann and I have always talked about from our experience in experimenting with this in our past lives too, is it always seemed very difficult to do it without some type of triangulation. So that's interesting to hear about the shelf. It's also interesting to hear how you're thinking about the actual customers themselves in space and identifying them too, and not using facial recognition. I think that's, especially in today's age, that's an interesting point. Well, one of the other things we love about you guys is you actually are doing this live, right?
Yeah.
You have a store stood up. Where is it? It's in Soma in San Francisco. Is that right? South
of
Market?
Right. It's in San Francisco. That's right. Yep.
Tell us about that experience. So first of all, like, how big is the store? How long has it been open?
So the store was opened in August.
Okay.
And our goal with the store was to showcase the technology in real world conditions. Because, you know, every retailer we spoke to were always, you know, excited about the technology and the demo videos, but they all wanted to know if the technology works in the real world.
Right? For sure.
So that was the motivation. And so we set about building this store probably in June. Boy, we learned a lot.
Yeah. We can't wait to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was actually one of those things I think it was an amazing experience for us to really build a store from scratch, because we now have a whole different appreciation for retail for our customers.
Right.
And it was a very useful exercise, because if we hadn't gone through that, we would have kind of underestimated some of the choices a retailer would want to make, or some of the criteria that the retailer would use to pick a technology. For instance, I mean, like, shelf space is so premium, right, in a store. And we realized pretty early on that any camera that goes on the shelf and requires, like, sufficient clearance about the products is not going to be an option. Because which retailer would want to sacrifice so much, you know, shelf space and volume, you know, to this, right? So that's one of the things that actually led us to innovate on the kinds of sensors we can use. And also, like, how messy things can get on the shelves, right? So you can't expect things to be, like, neatly organized. So we had to make sure that our technology worked with, you know, products that were just thrown around. They're not, like, neatly stacked and are misplaced on wrong shelves. So this was all really good experience for us.
Yeah, I bet. Now, how many SKUs are in the space, if you can share that? I'm curious. And how big is this space?
Right. So the space is just about 200 square feet. It's pretty small.
Okay.
It's modeled after an urban grab and go store. Think New York City, like, small place where you can just grab your lunch or beverages or snacks. We have about 100 SKUs right now.
Okay.
And we are expanding it to 200. We're actually just finished a minor remodel of the store. So we're not 200 SKUs yet.
Okay, great. And what is it, like, products from all walks of life? Right. Is it specific to any types of categories? Like, where do you guys focus, especially as you're growing it and it sounds twofold now?
That's right. So we're actually looking at the lunch use case, like the urban professional lunch use case. So the kinds of stuff we carry are predominantly food-oriented, food, snack, prepackaged lunches, beverages.
Okay.
Those are the kinds of things. But again, the technology doesn't differentiate. If anything, like, packaged goods are actually much easier than prepackaged sandwiches and salads because they tend to not have as many identifiable features.
Interesting.
Right. That makes sense. And now, like, so we, Ann and I both, we've been to Amazon Go. Like, so if your store, when is it open? And, you know, if what it sounds like at lunchtime is a key period of time. And then when it's open, is there staff there at all? Or is it completely 100% unstaffed?
So let me clarify. I mean, it's still a concept store.
Okay.
We don't intend to be a retailer.
Okay, for sure.
So we don't actively advertise or promote the store. So it's only, you know, customers that are on the invite list that can actually come and shop today.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's an app that you can download on the store, on the app store, and then come in. We usually only open for the lunch hours. I think it's about 2 hours now.
Okay.
Between 11:30 and 1:30. Yeah.
Got it. And if I go in there, is there anyone there? Is it just completely unstaffed?
Yeah. So there is an attendant. Obviously, we understand it's a new concept. So mm-hmm. the job of the attendant is to actually describe the technology. Usually the shopping itself is completely automated, so the customers go in on their own and then pick up whatever they want to walk out. Yeah,
and even when you know you're there to see a technology like this, it's still kind of that odd feeling where you're like, wait, can I really just leave?
So you walk out the door.
You have to have somebody there even just to kind of say that.
We actually had one customer just for fun, like she turned back towards the cameras and said, "Yo, I'm not stealing."
Really? That's funny.
Yeah,
it's
a new experience. Yeah.
So where do you think, I mean, there's a, like we said, the space is hot. Like where do you think this space is going next? What, if any, limitations are there right now in the space, whether it be the types of product categories that can be identified, the true size and scale of where the technology can be deployed? How do you think about the future of this and say, what does the next 3, 5, even 10-year horizons look like?
Right. I think from a technology standpoint, it's at a point where it can be deployed, and that's what we're doing. Obviously, there are some, like edge cases that have to be handled. So obviously, products that are that do not have any identifiable features will need potentially a different package, right?
Okay.
So if you don't have anything that differentiates one product from another, then you can't expect the cameras to do a good job of identifying which product got picked.
To that point, is apparel really hard to do in this type of world? Like, just out of curiosity, I'm curious your thoughts on that.
That's right. That's a good question. So apparel is actually hard for different reasons.
Okay.
The way we shop for apparel is different. So we normally just don't grab and go. We like to pick up stuff and then maybe walk into a changing room and then try it on and bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
So in that process, there is additional complexity because obviously, you know, cameras have to stop before the changing room.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some edge cases around, like, how do you still uniquely identify which things that the customer wants to take back with them, right?
Right.
But there are other technologies and sensors that can be brought to the picture, so we're looking at that.
Sure.
I don't think apparel is ideal today, but in a few years, it will be basically checkout free shopping everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Where do you think this will happen first? I mean, if you had to venture a guess on which verticals or which types of retailers are going to go after this type of business first, where do you think all the activity is going to be?
So let me actually talk about which retailers are likely to succeed and the right.
That's a great frame of mind.
About
this
technology. Mm-hmm. Because if you see this from the outside, a lot of people just think, oh, this is just eliminating cashiers, so you're going to save some money. And that's how people view it. And any retailer that views it that way is kind of missing the big point and may not actually succeed in the long run. The real opportunity is to the ability to boost revenue, right? So most retailers are in the $500 per annum per square foot to best performing grocery stores, probably in the $1,800 per square foot per annum, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of the big reasons why, you know, that number doesn't go up is because of, lots of other things, primarily being, of course, checkout being a pain point. You know, customers don't want to go to that store. They go online. So the way retailers should think about it is, how can they maximize the revenue per square foot they can do? And with this technology, there's really no limit. If it's a dense urban location with a lot of footfall,
mm-hmm.
then really now you've removed the biggest bottleneck. for anybody to walk into the store. And so anybody can walk in and grab whatever they want and walk out in 20 seconds, then you should be able to do substantially more, right? And so I see it really picking up in areas where there is high density, the lines are long, and people really want the product, but they're not able to shop. And so those are the areas where it'll pick up. So the grab-and-go stores, convenience stores, even grocery stores in urban areas are the first areas we would see.
So really where that bottleneck effect is taking place, that's really where you think you're going to see a lot of this action. Interesting. Well, let's get you, I know Anne has been dying to ask you too about the data. You must be collecting immense amounts of data too. So curious on your strategy there.
Yeah. And I guess in addition to generating revenue, more revenue for the retailers and increasing, you know, the overall improvement of the customer experience, what are the types of, you said inventory tracking is something that you're able to provide. What other kind of insights are you able to provide retailers who sign on with you?
Yeah, so three other huge benefits to retailers because of this technology would be real-time inventory tracking and stock out prediction. So the way our technology works is that we know everything that's on every shelf all the time, right? So literally 30 times a second, we're able to figure out, you know, what's on a shelf. So if if a shelf is running out of stuff, we know that immediately, and we can alert somebody. And if a customer has actually taken a product from one shelf and put it on the wrong shelf, we know that immediately, and we can tell the store which shelf they put it on. So instead of sending reps all over the store looking for misplaced items, you know exactly which shelves have the misplaced items, and you can put them back on the right shelf so that future customers can shop them, right? So it's a huge advantage, and retailers say it could be up to 20% of sales that they lose because the right product is not on the shelf and the customer walks in, okay? The second huge benefit is, in addition, is advanced analytics. For the first time, physical stores get the same kind of data that online stores have always been getting, which is when a customer walks in, you know how they shopped, not just what they left with, okay? You know what products they picked, but they didn't buy, maybe because the price was high or nutrition facts weren't right, whatever. And you can get all these insights now, which were not possible before. And the last piece is fewer losses due to theft. Because everybody checks in when they walk in, their account is with the system, and any product they grab off of the shelf, I mean, that product has to be accounted for. So the system is going to assign it to them. And so it's practically impossible to steal, from a store like this. So that's another big advantage, is that you will actually reduce your shrink substantially.
Right. Makes a ton of sense. I mean, very in line with the things we talk about here at OmniTalk. I mean, I think especially that second point, I think that's the one we're always really big on, is, you know, how do you turn the physical store? How do you have the same, you know, analytical understanding in a physical store that you have on a web browser? And that's what this type of technology enables you to do. Very, very cool stuff. Very exciting. Can't wait to see you guys live and in New York too. Again, what's your booth number again, you said?
Yeah, it's booth number 7103.
7103, okay.
In the innovation center.
Yeah, yeah, right, in the innovation space. And if people want to learn more about you online, where should they go?
Just check us out on our website at getzipin.com.
Awesome. Getzippin.com. Well, fantastic. Krishna, thank you so much. Again, this has been Zippin CEO and co-founder Krishna Motokuri. Thanks for joining us on the OmniTalk Spotlight series today. And of course, to everyone out there listening, be careful out there.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.